Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We are so excited that you guys are here. I am your host, Laura Reeves. This is Marty Greer. And we are thrilled that you have joined us tonight. Marty just came to her house today for the first time in, 2 weeks?
Yeah, about that. I'm just dropping in for a cameo appearance. I'm out again.
Heck minute. So we're making the most of our time while we have Marty on a grounded location that we can get her on the show. So
then I have a Wi-Fi connection. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, a Wi-Fi connection, right? Like after your haircut, before your next medical emergency. And, you know, we're in the holiday season and we've been talking. We talked all about our giving thanks during the month of November and holiday eating, snacking with our pets. So we decided tonight needed to be the holiday groom. And yes. I think we have a very special appearance during the holiday groom of a medical miracle that is known to groomers and veterinarians far and wide called anal glands. So fantastic topic for the holidays, but very important.
Well, it's timely, and it's hard to understand the connection until we do a little explanation here. So stick with us. We're not just here to make you wrinkle up your nose. Not that way.
Okay. So talk to us about why it's so important that when we have our pets groomed or we take them to the veterinarian, we address this very, very teeny tiny, but very critical element of the dog's care.
So let's start with the understanding of what these are.
Yes.
Some people call them anal sacs, S-A-C-S, not anal sex, which is confusing sometimes.
Completely different. Totally different.
Because I have people that say, I do not. I'm like, no, anal glands. So the anal glands or anal sacs, S-A-C-S, are little glands. Cats have them and dogs have them. Yes, cats do have them. And they're, if you drew numbers on your dog or your cat's butt, they're at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, or approximately there. And they're under the skin, but on the outside of the intestines, but it's accessible by either outside squeezing or inside squeezing. And they accumulate really smelly material in them. They're the equivalent of the scent gland in a skunk, the scent gland in a ferret. Dogs have them, cats have them. Thank God humans do not have these, because when dogs and cats get nervous, they sometimes will express them or empty them. And then, like, if people had them, we would all know when you were nervous. Would be bad.
We just have sweat glands under our armpits. It's bad, but it's not as bad. I promise.
But you can do stuff with that. So they're little glands, and they should normally empty when the dog or cat passes a stool. And so a firm stool will cause them to empty, and just that little bit of material will come out. Now, they do serve a function. The function is to alert other dogs or cats. If something bad is happening, it alerts them by the dog or cat empties them, like a skunk does when, like when your dog finds your skunk on a walk and the skunk turns around and sprays them. So they empty like the scent glands of a skunk or a ferret, in that they then empty during fear, and they will alert other dogs or cats or whatever species you are that there's something bad going on. So they serve a function.
It's just a bad function.
And it's a really unusual smell that until you've smelled it, you really can't describe it.
Once you've smelled it, you can never unsmell it. You can never get it out of your clothes, your grooming smock.
I picked up a dog many, many years ago wearing a wool coat, and he dumped his anal glands on me. No, but I almost had to. It was bad. But you know you're having a great day as a veterinarian when you go in the morning and your first appointment, you go to express the anal glands, and they squirt into the bangs of your hair, and you spend the next 5 minutes washing your hair in the sink at your treatment area. And my sister then says things to me like, well, you don't dress up much to go to work. And I'm like, so I can put anal glands in my hair 5 minutes after I start my day? I didn't.
Why dog groomers have grooming smocks. We live in those things for a reason.
Exactly. They're interchangeable. You can just peel that baby off. But when it's here in your hair, then it has to be more. And unfortunately, it happens relatively often. So yes, that's what happens. Sometimes you'll smell it if your dog is nervous at the veterinary clinic or nervous at the groomer or nervous at the dog park or wherever they happen to be. And once you know what that smell is, like you said, you'll never unsmell it. And you will then immediately be able to identify either the dog is nervous or the anal glands are full and they weren't adequately expressed at the last time that they were at the vet or the groomer. And we don't do it every time. So it's a service that is typically added on. But as soon as you identify that there's a problem, you will become a believer in having these done on a regular basis.
So firm stool, very important. Also exercise. The times that I have encountered dogs with anal glands that don't fully empty on a regular basis tend to be old dogs, couch potato dogs, overweight dogs, dogs that are definitely not getting the amount of exercise they should be. Do you want to speak to that?
Well, I think it just goes to the fact that they're not moving around as much. Their stool character is different. It's just different. So you'll see dogs that empty them when they pass a stool, but you'll also see dogs that go scooting across the carpet, the hardwood floor, the concrete, the asphalt, the grass, whatever. Some dogs will do it after they defecate. Some dogs just do it spontaneously. And this is why we're talking about it at the holiday season is, number one, groomers will frequently empty these, and we'll talk about the differences and how that works at the grooming, so your dog's anal glands are empty. Number two is there's nothing much more embarrassing than having a new family member that you're trying to make a good impression on and then have your dog plant their little hiney on the carpet and go across the carpet emptying their anal glands, so now permanently infusing your carpet with this appealing odor. Smell that you'll never completely get rid of. So I think it's important that we discuss that there are options. Now, back when I started practice, when we rode a bicycle to power the x-ray machine because we didn't have electricity, I'm just kidding.
Back when Davy Crockett was just a boy, yes.
Exactly. He was just a lad. Groomers used to put on a glove like veterinarians would, and they would slide their index finger, typically their index finger, into the rectum, and then they would feel one gland and empty it and feel the other gland and then empty it. But most of the time, groomers, in my community at least, are no longer really interested in doing something internal. So they just squeeze them from the outside, which does not fully empty the glands. It partially empties them, and they may get a feeling that they have done an improvement, but really to effectively empty the anal glands, a glove needs to go on. You can put some lidocaine gel or something on there so that the dog is a little bit less reactive. And then you basically index finger in the rectum, thumb on the outside, and you kind of have to milk the gland. So if somebody really wants to learn to do this, we'll kind of teach you how. Kind of milk the 8 o'clock gland, milk the 4 o'clock gland, and then immediately, I always have like four paper towels, one to kind of shield me because sometimes when you do this, they do directly spray in a direction you didn't plan on. So I use kind of one as a shield, and then I always have some kind of a disinfectant and an odor deodorizing spray to put on there. My current favorite deodorizing spray, just so you know, is Isle of Dogs. They have four or five really nice scents, but Fresh and Clean has a nice scent. There's a lot of products that are effective, but I like the Isle of Dogs because it comes in pear and lavender and, you know, can get some really nice smells. Well, sometimes the smells are worse than the smell of the anal glands. And so the goal isn't to make it smell worse. The goal is to make it smell better. So clean it up.
Like those things that you hang from your mirror in your car.
Right. Because if you don't clean up the dog's hiney before you put it back in the car, then the client has to drive home at, 2 miles an hour with the leash hanging out the door so the dog can walk next to the car because do not want this in your car. That's bad.
And so veterinarians, groomers, so there's two things. The important part is if you're having your groomer do it, make sure they're doing it properly. Yes?
Yeah. And groomers may or may not be willing to do that. And if they are not comfortable with it, I would not expect a groomer to overstep their boundaries. If they feel like that's a veterinary procedure, then please be aware.
Yeah. And so the other feature that comes along with this is that sometimes certain dogs, and I don't know about cats, do cats have this problem? The anal glands become impacted. So in other words, they're not emptied. So talk us through that.
Right. So they can either get impacted, which means the material in them just thickens because it didn't get expressed regularly. So instead of being kind of thin, watery, and tan colored, it becomes dark and thick. And if it really becomes infected, then it's bloody. And so then it becomes impacted and infected, and they can rupture to the outside. So instead of having those little ducts that open at the rectum, they will bulge through the softest spot, which is going to be next to the rectum, and end up with this open wound. And it freaks owners out because they think it's blood coming from the rectum, or they think it's, you know, really horrible, like the dog has something terrible wrong with them. And it's annoying, but it's not life-threatening.
Having had it, having lived through it, Clumber Spaniels, that are the breed that I started with, are a breed that is, I don't know, they're prone to it. We had multiple anal gland removal surgeries in our dogs. So I'm just going to say, in every other breed I've ever owned, shown, dealt with, I've never had it. So I'm going to go with maybe they're prone to it.
It happens in all breeds.
My old Best in Show dog, my very first Best in Show dog, was a Clumber Spaniel that I, no matter what I did, no matter how hard I tried, no matter what we did, could not keep his anal glands from impacting. Yeah. And on a long trip, they just blew out. And it's like blood and green and gory and...
It's icky, but it's not life-threatening. But they do make some products that claim to reduce the risk of impaction of the anal glands. They're typically products that are high in fiber. There's a couple of them on the market now. I have not been totally impressed with those products. They're basically just high fiber. So you can go buy those, or you can buy Metamucil, or have your groomer or your veterinarian regularly empty the anal glands, and then you have one less thing to worry about. So if they get infected and impacted, you can have them infused. We typically will take a tube of medication that we would normally put into the ear and infuse it into the duct. You can put them on antibiotics and pain medication. You can put them on sitz baths. And then, as you mentioned, you can have them surgically removed. So that is certainly an option. And if you have a relatively young dog that has chronic problems with their anal glands, I would seriously think about having them removed instead of just dealing with it. Now, I took care of a bulldog that lived to be 15, and they came to the clinic every 5 weeks. They drove an hour each direction for me to empty his anal glands. And by the time he was 15, they said, jeepers, if we'd known he was going to do this for this many years, we would have had them removed. Well, when he was 8, who thinks a bulldog is going to live to be 15, right? I mean, it was a blessing that he did.
Yeah.
So in no way do I want to sound like that's not important. But looking back on it, it would have changed things. What you need to be aware of is, on rare occasions, anal glands can develop a tumor. It's typically an adenocarcinoma, although I also have seen a squamous cell carcinoma in that gland. And those are bad diseases. They can metastasize, they can spread, they can recur, they're difficult to deal with. So again, if your groomer feels like they try to empty the anal glands and there's something not right there, then you just trot your little dog right into the veterinary clinic as soon as you can get an appointment and have that assessed. Because I've had a lot of groomers diagnose relatively accurately that there's something wrong. And it may be an abscess, it may be an impacted gland, but it may be a tumor. And tumors, if they're removed early, are very treatable. But if they advance, it can be a life-threatening disease.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, we decided to do anal glands at the holidays for a reason. And that is, we want to have
this
you
is avoid, cheery.
This is so much fun. We want to have you avoid the embarrassment of your dog scooching his bottom across the carpet in front of the preacher or the sister-in-law. Just saying.
Or the fiance, or, you fiance, know, the brand new,
any the of
brand
the people. That, like, we're trying to help here, man.
This is my fiance. Yeah, and this is really disgusting. So I do have a few people that have learned to empty their own dog's anal glands. My sister wanted to learn to do hers. She had Borzoi, and they were having problems many years ago. And she said, well, I want you to teach me to do this. And I said, okay, fine. We went to her cottage for the weekend. And so she said, well, teach me. And I said, well, first of all, the cottage is like this big, so we're going outside because I'm not going to smell up the whole place. So we go out on the deck. And I've got gloves on, and she's got, please do this with gloves. So I'm wearing gloves, she's wearing gloves, and it's a good thing she makes a living as being an attorney, because she's not good with her hands. She could not get the hand position and the hand coordination to make it work. And as we were trying to, I was trying to teach her this, because once you get it, it's like riding a bike, you can't really forget. So I was trying to teach her, and her husband goes to open the door to walk out onto the deck, and he looks out, and he sees what we're doing, and his eyes get big, and he says, whatever they charge you, just pay them. He's like, we are not doing this as a do-it-yourself at home project. So I do have a few people that are interested in that, but most people are like, no, I'm just writing a check. I'm giving you my credit card.
Yeah.
I do not want
Thank God
to deal
for credit cards, definitely. I mean, you know, as someone who did this for a living, but honestly, I promise you, all of y'all out there, it's just worth either a quiet word with your groomer or a quick trip to the veterinarian as you're getting ready for the holidays. You're going to have millions of people at your house. This is just one of the things that will make your life easier in the long run and much better smelling.
Yes. And the dirty little secret is most vet techs love to empty anal glands. Most veterinarians are not that excited.
You know what? These are people that watch too much Dr. Pimple Popper. I'm just saying, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong. Rewarding enough, and it makes them feel good about what they've chosen for a profession. Mm-hmm. So if that makes them happy, you know what? Put your gloves on, girls and boys.
Twisted
and
sister, man. That's what I got.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So impaction, infection, abscesses and tumors. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the summary, other than just the basic garden variety. They just don't smell good. Yeah. So if your groomer is willing to do it, or your groomer mentions that there's anything going on, please address it, because it's going to make your life better. And if you have good success with one of those high fiber products, knock yourself out, but
go for it.
You know,
pumpkin was kind of the solution to mine. I did a lot of pumpkin with my dogs.
Well, but it's fiber. It's Metamucil. Exactly. It's fiber. It's it's basically almost any fruit or vegetable that increases the fiber intake in the dog can be helpful. So, you know, those are all reasonable, and you don't have to buy a product. You could go to the grocery store and buy fruits and vegetables. Newsflash, they still have those at the grocery store if you remember that there's a produce aisle at your grocery store.
It's expensive. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's not as expensive as the alternatives.
No, it's not.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
Okay, so we covered the stinky part first, so now we get to the fun part. Just remember, speaking as your groomer, been there, done that, if you haven't already made your holiday grooming appointment for your pet, you're probably too late.
Very likely. Yeah, because groomers book out typically, well, a lot of people just schedule those 6-week interval appointments. Yes. They just put them on the books and they start in January and they book the whole year, and your groomer will love you for that.
But you understand, because unfortunately, that's not everyone.
It's too few people, and a lot of people that think they're real regular customers that go every 3 years aren't really all that regular. And so when you call with a crisis, your groomer is going to be like, who? So you're going to be aced out by the people who are the every 6 weeks and who tip well and who don't bring a matted dog and don't complain to the groomer about having shaved down the dog or whatever it happens to be. So yes, you need to make your appointment well in advance. And everybody wants their dog to have, you know, a cute little bandana and little bows in their ears. And they all want them to be really cute for the Christmas family photo. And I understand that. That's really important. So you need to do those things, but be good to your groomer. Take them a gift, not just at Christmas. Tip them well. I think groomers are probably the most magical people on the planet.
They are.
Because they can get dogs to do things that, like, the dogs love going to the groomer and they hate going to the veterinary clinic, and we oftentimes do very similar things. But dogs love their groomers. And if they don't like their groomer, then maybe something's not right about the groomer. So find a different one that your dog clicks with. But dogs typically love their groomer, and I don't know how groomers don't have more grooming accidents than they do, because the dog zigs, you zag, you've got something sharp in your hands.
You know,
and every now and then there's a nick or a cut, but if it happens to your groomer, it's not because they did anything malicious or wrong. No. It's just dogs don't sit still.
And I cats think are worse. I think that's the most important thing that I would share from the did this for a living person. You know, when you go for your haircut and you pay, you know, $50 or $75 or $100 for your foofy, whatever it is you're getting done, you need to remember that when you pay that amount for your pet's grooming, you didn't bite your hairstylist. You did not poop in your hairstylist's pocket. You did not spray anal glands all over your hairstylist. And your pet is getting a hairstyle and a manicure simultaneously. So,
and a bath.
Think about that. Yeah. Yeah. Bath, blow dry, manicure all at once. So I know what I pay when I get my hair and nails done.
And it's this much of your body. It's this much.
Right.
But your dog is this much.
And many of them are not accustomed to the work being done. And so that's one of the things that owners can do that's super, super helpful is even if you're not going to personally trim your dog's toenails or brush your dog, which I think you should, but if you're not going to, that's fine. Accustom the animal to having the work done so that they have a more positive experience when they get to the groomer. Mm-hmm. Touch your dog's toenails, touch your dog's mouth, touch your dog's tail, you know, touch your dog's ears, right? All of those things, if you do that on a daily basis, when you take your pet to the groomer and the groomer goes to shave their face and the dog goes, bah! Well, you have scissors or clippers in your hands, just saying.
Exactly. So yeah, there's a lot to it. And like I said, I think they're magical. They're artistic people. They're magical people. They can convince your dog to let them do all kinds of incredible things. So, you know, be really good to them because they are spectacular and they are not making a killing.
No, they're not
doing what they're doing. They're not doing it for money.
No, they're doing it for the love of it. And my strongest recommendation is what Marty said earlier. Start young, make a regular schedule. If your groomer says brush them in between, brush them to the skin. Like this is an actual thing. You can't brush the top inch of hair and not down to the skin and expect your groomer to be friends with you anymore because it doesn't count, right?
Right. And over the years, we've had groomers that have worked for us. And one week, many years ago, I got a phone call. I happened to pick up the phone and answer the phone. And it was a gentleman on the phone and he said, I have an emergency. I'm like, what? He says, I have a grooming emergency. I said, okay, what happened? And he said, well, he said, I started to groom my dog and I started shaving and I realized I was in over my head. So can I come in and get the dog groomed? And I said, sure, let me check. So I go down and I talk to Karen. Karen says, sure, no problem. Bring in the dog. So he comes in and he has hacked the dog's hair, like on the back of the neck and the head. It's awful. It looks awful. And Karen's like, no problem. I can trim this up. I can fix it. It'll look fine. So he dropped the dog off. His wife comes to pick up the dog. She comes in and she sees the dog and she lays into Karen. Oh. And I said, hold on, baby. And she said, what? And I said, let's step into this room. So I took her into the exam room and I said to her, so you're not aware of exactly what happened. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I don't want to throw your husband under the bus, but watch this. Go into I said, I wish I'd taken pictures, but if you had seen the way the dog came in and now saw the way the dog's looking when she leaves, I'm going to tell you, you would drop to your knees and thank Karen instead of giving Karen a hard time about hacking up your dog's coat. Because frankly, it was your dear spouse that did that. So it all happens. Sometimes they're matted. Sometimes it's just not good. And the groomers can still somehow turn these dogs into something that looks decent. And then the hair all grows out at the same rate and it looks even. And you start with a nice, clear, unmatted coat. And so if you have one of the dogs that tends to have a matting coat, like a lot of the golden doodles, labradoodles, those kinds of things, once it's groomed, keep up with it.
Yeah.
And it's going to really make a big difference. The other thing I am going to say that's negative about a groomer is that they will charge and expect you to pay extra for cleaning the dog's teeth. Well, brushing their teeth once every 6 weeks isn't enough. I'm just going to say I don't brush my teeth every six. Well, I mean, I do brush them every 6 weeks. I brush them every day, twice a day. So if your groomer says, I'm going to charge you a little bit more and I'll brush their teeth, well, congratulations, brush your own dog's teeth. And if they offer to clean their teeth, they're actually doing more harm than good because they're scraping the tartar off and etching the enamel and making the tartar accumulate more quickly. So that's the only negative thing I'm going to say about groomers is they are not dentists and they should not be practicing dentistry.
Okay. Yeah. I think the important thing to remember in addition to all of that is that sometimes there are dog grooming emergencies. Like I've definitely encountered them. It's okay. Everybody involved in this story has long passed away now. My Irish Wolfhound client called me up with my top winning Irish Wolfhound that I was showing for her. And she liked to, you know, nip at the bottle a little bit. I think she'd nipped a little extra that night. And she called me in hysterics because she had taken a 10 blade clipper to the back of the neck, back of the neck of my Irish Wolfhound Special.
Ooh, yeah, that's hard to fix.
For people who don't understand, Irish Wolfhounds don't have the backs of their necks shaved, and it takes a very long time for that hair to grow back. And so drunk driving is bad. Drunk grooming is really bad. Just saying.
Well, yeah, no one dies, but...
No one died. Well, I mean, I threatened the client.
Well, I'm sure you did.
No one actually died.
Yeah. Tempting as it was.
Oh, so anyway, holiday grooming can be entertaining. Try to groom before you get to the eggnog. That's what I'm saying.
Good choice. And then if you have special things that you want in the dog's hair for little bows or bandanas, just ask your groomer. They'll oftentimes be able to accommodate. They may take some holiday pictures. Groomers, they're just the greatest people. So treat
them
well.
They might even, if you ask really nicely, some of them now do color. Like they can put color on your dog's toenails. They can paint your dog's toenails. They can put food coloring dye in their hair. It's very fun. I think it's really important to have fun with your pet for the holidays. Make the cutest pictures. And if you're doing any DIY grooming, just do it before the eggnog. That's all I got.
Right. And then have a groomer on your speed dial in case you need help.
For real. All right, you guys. Thanks so much. We really always enjoy having you come visit with us. And we hope you're having a fantastic warm-up as the holidays are upon us. And we will catch you again next week.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog, and we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.